Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. And this is a glorious day that God has made. And we should all learn to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, we don't have to be in the land of the living because we see that a lot of people are leaving away from here. And, of course, we all know we were born to die. But God is in control, and he saw fit that we would be here today, and we just want to say thank you, Jesus. And tonight, I always have to thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because without them, you know, I couldn't imagine what life would be, especially in the world that we live in. But I thank him for this opportunity to come before you guys and to share the word of God. I pray that each and every one of you receive something from the lesson and you allow the Holy Spirit to give you illumination and revelation of the Word of God. I now want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out your busy schedule week after week calling in and we fellowship together in the Word of God. I am so grateful and I'm so thankful. And I want you to know that I don't take it for granted that you could be doing something else. But I thank you for calling in and coming back again. You know, this is no accident. God ordains everything that happened, and he's ordaining this. So you let God be your guide, and you continue to come and receive the word. And if you want to add to the word, or you think that something could be added into it, because, you know, you could have a word for somebody that I don't. And you see, the Bible tells us that we are one body with many members, and each part of the body has a part to play. But I'm going to come to you tonight. For those who have their Bibles, I'm coming from the book of Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And the thought for tonight is, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'm going to play up music, some music that I think is appropriate on tonight. And I pray that you enjoy it. And once the music is over, I'm going to come back. We're going to pray together. And then we'll go on with the lessons. So enjoy the music. This is Yolanda Adams, Holy Night.
Oh.
Holy Night by Yolanda Adams. It's prayer time. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of our souls, our Redeemer, our Rock, and our Shield. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you on tonight, Lord, because there's no other help we know. Lord, we're leaning and depending on your unchanging hands. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that everyone that's tuned into the program, either by phone or internet, Heavenly Father, touch them in a special way. Heavenly Father, grant them the desires of their heart and allow any situation or circumstance that they have, even if you don't move it, dear God, give them the strength to go through it. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for each and every one of them home, their children, their families, dear God, their extended families, their neighborhoods, dear God. Find favor in all that they do, dear God. And I know they have favor with you if they accepted you as your Savior and extend favor of man upon their lives. They say favor is not fair, but it's good. And, Lord, I'm just asking that you just be with us and guide us. And as the lesson unfolds tonight, I pray that the Holy Ghost is right there waiting for each and every one of you with revelation and illumination, that you could carry this word and grow stronger in the Lord and just knowing for yourself and understanding, you know, because we have to know God. We have to truly know God to truly love him and to trust him and to worship him. This is my prayer on tonight, dear God, and I don't ask it in my name, but in your darling son Jesus' name, amen and thank God. For someone who maybe came after the scripture was given, we're coming out of Luke, the second chapter, the first through the 12th verse. The the book of Luke, 2nd chapter, 1st through the 12th verse. And the subject for tonight is, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, tonight we will continue in the book of Luke. Last week we was in the first chapter of Luke where we saw how the prophecy was unfolding when the angel came to Mary. Angel came to Mary and told her that she would have and conceive a child and would be pregnated by the Holy Ghost. And that was in the first chapter of Luke. You know, Luke is one of the only gospels that was the only gospel writers who recorded the events that was happening, and he did it with, like, world history. You see, Luke was a historian. So as you read the book of Luke, you're going to see a lot of historic things mentioned and things that relate to world history. You see, his account was addressed to predominantly the Greek audience that would have been interested in and familiar with the political situations that he would write about. You see, if he was a Greek, that means he was a Gentile. And, you know, Luke was the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. And when he wrote with understanding that they could understand and relate to. You know how sometimes they say black people when we talk, people from New Orleans when we talk, plenty of people don't understand, but we understand. Well, that's how Luke was doing with the book of Luke, because it was written predominantly for the Greek audience. You see, but God in his ultimate wisdom designed the writing of the Gospels, which y'all know we have four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to attract all people. He has something there for every culture and every lifestyle. Believe me, no one is left out. God said, whosoever will, let him come. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Last week, we saw how God's master plan of salvation began to be fulfilled, and prophecies of the Old Testament is coming alive and has reached the fullness of time. The fullness of time. That sounds so good to me. The fullness of time. It has gotten to the time. What you could do with this is take comfort in this fact. For every promise that you hold, for every promise that God has put in your heart, that you are believing him for, I just come to tell you tonight that it will come to pass. For God is not a man that he should lie, but in him every promise is yes and amen. You could go to 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 20. You see, God declared that his word will not return void, but will fulfill its intended purpose. Everything that God wants from you and asks of you to do, it's going to fulfill its intended purpose. That's in Isaiah 55 and 11. Isaiah 55 and 11. You must remember, though, that God's time is not our time. God is the fullness. God is the fullness of all that he created for his plan and purpose, for the fulfillment of his story. You know, when you really look at history, they say if you break history down and break it into two, it says his story. Your history is your history. My history is my history. But I want you to know tonight that the world and its creation, the history is all about his, God's history. See, we're walking into our history, and our history is being created day by day. But before the foundation of the world, God created his history that's going to run all the way through eternity. And it's unfolding, and like we say, when Jesus was born, it was a fulfillment of time. But this is God's history, so pay attention to this history lesson. Follow this lesson, and you will see how the story unfolds. We got into the scripture now, and I'm in Luke, the second chapter and the first verse. And it says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Siricius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own town. Watch this. Caesar Augustus, whose name was Octavian, was the grandnephew and adopted heir of Julius Caesar. See, that's names we know, Julius Caesar. But when Julius Caesar was assassinated, his 19-year-old heir returned from his studies in Greece to claim his inheritance. And that's Julius Caesar. Caesar Augustus. And the birth of Jesus occurred in the middle of his administration. You see, Augustus made a decree, and that's what the kings would do, just like we have Congress and them making laws and changing laws. But Augustus made a decree that went out in God's perfect timing. And it was according to God's perfect plan to bring his son in the world. You see, God uses everything and everybody for his will and for the perfecting of his plan. Remember, God is in control. You see, the Emperor Caesar Augustus thought that this was his idea, but we can see the hand of God all over the plan. Everyone, remember this as the story unfolds, everyone had to pay their taxes in the city of their birthplace. And now we're going to go to the fourth verse. And it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and linkage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And see, when you see that, and they say espoused, I just want you to know that back then that was like an engagement. And they were more serious, because if the relationship was established, and even though you wasn't married at the time, you act like married people, not sexual, but being engaged and being betrothed to one another. So that's where that word expounds come from. But they say he went to Bethlehem, and he brought his wife, because see, he was from Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, with great child. You see, Joseph understood that we should obey the laws of the land. You know, the Bible tells us that whatever due to Caesar, render to Caesar. So when we look at the laws and income tax and paying tax, God said you honor the law of the land. So Joseph was going to Bethlehem so that he can be taxed, because Augustus had made the decree. Now, remember last week they said that Jesus had to come from the line of David. And we talked and taught about Joseph being a direct ancestor to David. And tonight we see, last week they say that's where Jesus would have to come from when they prophesied. And we looked at the scriptures to say he had to come out of the house of David. And now we see that the house of David was born in Bethlehem. So now Jesus got to be born in Bethlehem, but he wasn't in Bethlehem because he was in the Galilee. But it's all coming together. God is a wonderful, you know, planner. They made the decree. Joseph is coming back. Mary is big and pregnant. And now they back in Bethlehem. But before they got to Bethlehem, Mary was great with child. That's what the scriptures say. So she was right there. She was like in full term. That's what the scripture says. and the distance from Galilee to Bethlehem was about 80 miles, or about a four-day journey, you know, if all go well. And I just want you to know that we see the picture of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and Mary sitting on a donkey. I'm not saying that Mary did not sit on a donkey, but the Bible does not say she sat on a donkey. And when we're dealing with the things of God, we have to just speak and teach on the things that we see. You know, they say don't add to it and don't take away from it. But they went to Bethlehem, and they may have been on a donkey or had a cart. I don't know, but the Bible doesn't say. They just say Mary and Joseph went. You see, Mary was great with child, just about full term. But look at this. In spite of all the difficulties, Joseph and Mary, they still took the trip. And guess what? God was with them. Sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, I'm really being obedient. So why aren't things going better in my life? We face discomforts and inconvenience. And immediately we sometimes think that maybe we misread God's will. But God does everything in his own time. And if you watch this quiet couple as they travel towards Bethlehem, you may see how God worked a little bit more. You see, God did not soften Mary and Joseph's bumpy road, but he gave them the strength to finish the task at hand. You're going to have all kind of things that come against you in your life. Some of them are self-inflicted. Some of them are the consequences of our actions. And some of them are just God's will. And some of them could be an act of nature, like Hurricane Katrina. So things is going to come. We're going to have adversities, and we're going to have difficulties, and we're going to have all these things in our life. But it's not what comes your way. It's who you go through it with. If God is by your side, he'll never leave you and forsake you. Hold on to his unchanging hand and let him lead you to where he wants you to go. You see, Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because it were predicted in prophecy by the prophet Micah where Jesus would be born. Write this down, the ones who have your Bible. Micah 5:2 was the prophecy in the Old Testament. Micah was a prophet, and God gave him to prophesy where Jesus would be born. So Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem," and then they have the word "Ephrathah." That's a word that just means Bethlehem as well. I looked it up and I try to get the right pronunciation, but it's Ephrathah. That's the way you pronounce it, Ephrathah. Though little be, okay, let me start over. "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands in Judea, yet out of thee he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from old." Mean they talked about it in the old days, and they talk about it from everlasting. That's the prophecy that God had given Micah way back in the Old Testament. So you see now, he said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. But you see, with Augustus being there and making a decree and all of that was a part of the plan. You see, when God has a plan, he done made all of the provisions. And he's going to connect them dots. And there's not going to be no wheel unturned. So if we trust God with our plans and let him direct us, it's going to all be great. It's going to all meet up. It's going to line up, and it's going to be what we need. You see, it's amazing how God's master plan is unfolding. Everything that God gave the prophets to prophesy is being fulfilled. And remember, God was giving the prophecies so that his people will not just be hopeless, but understand that he's going to fix it. He's going to work it all out together for their good. You know, sometimes God is talking to us to let us know certain things, but we're not listening because sometimes we're moving too fast. You know, we're not listening for different reasons. But God said, he gave the prophecy, and now it's being fulfilled. And if we go to the sixth verse, we're going to see, and it says, and so it was that while they were there, the days was accomplished that she should be delivered. They in Bethlehem, went to pay the tax. She was big and pregnant. And before they leave, she delivers. All right, God. And verse 7 say, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, while in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. Jesus was not born in a manger, but was laid in a manger after his birth. You know, a lot of people think that the manger was the stable or the barn or the cave. That's, you know, that it was. But a manger was a trough, a box with horses or cattle ate from. And the wrapping and swaddling clothing was for warmth, to give him a sense of security, to protect the internal organs and to ensure that the limbs would grow straight. There was no room in the inn. Think about it for a while. Don't you realize that God owns everything? God knows everything, and God is in control of everything. And as we read this story, do you realize that if God wanted Jesus to be born in any one of those inns or hotels or someone's home, as they did back then, surely he could have orchestrated. But he allowed it to happen the way that it did and the way that he said it would. Remember, this is his story. And Jesus being born, such an humble beginning. And the thing that amazed me, and it seemed funny, that no one showed up. And the eighth verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone around them. 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Hallelujah. And then number 11 said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's some good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. That's what the angels told the shepherds, that they could identify Jesus when they get there. You see, and the angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them, and the shepherds was afraid, and the angels said to them not be afraid, because she was giving them good news. And see, the word good news means the gospel. The good news is the good news of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Now we see the swaddling clothes in the manger was a sign for them to identify his birth. See, when God tell you to go somewhere or to do something, he's going to give you everything where you won't have to wonder if it's right. You're going to know. Nobody ain't going to have to tell you. You're going to know. You see, God had it all worked out. Watch his plan unfold. You remember earlier I said no one showed up. And you might ask the question, why did they appear to the shepherds? And then I'll just have to ask you the question, why not the shepherds? Why wasn't heaven's glory revealed to a bunch of nobodies in the middle of nowhere? While shepherds once held a high esteem among God's people, they had become unwanted, left out, and pushed aside. You see, they smelled like sheep, and they slept on the ground, and their job made them little or no money. But here we see that God has no respect of person. He has a master plan that he is in control of that was established before the foundation of the world, and everybody is included, you and me and everybody. And everyone has an assignment and a purpose, and there's no big I's and no little U's. So you might say, why the shepherds? But why not the shepherds? You know, some things going on in your life, and sometimes you might get a job, you might get a promotion, you might hit the lottery, you might do anything, and people say, why her? But why not you? And then on the flip side of that, you know, we might have a sickness that come in our life, and we thought, you know, as I said earlier, we doing everything right. Why would God let a sickness come down on there, or why would he allow my mother to die, or why would he allow whatever he allow? Just like you would ask the question, why me? And then I would have to ask you, why not you? Remember, God is in control. It's his story. It's his master plan. And he going to do it the way he want to. But you got to trust that it's for your good. When the angels told the shepherds, they got up and went. And then after the shepherds went and seen, they returned glorifying the Lord and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen and everything that was told unto them. And another thing about shepherds, you know, the Bible used a lot of analogies dealing with shepherds. And analogies of God and Jesus as shepherds. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, they call Jesus the good shepherd in the Bible. So shepherd seemed like an appropriate one, don't you think? Because just as a good shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep, Jesus was born to lay down his life for us. So, if you read the rest of the lesson, you're going to see what else happened in the rest of that second part of Luke. And it's a wonderful thing. I encourage you. I suggest that you would. And see the mighty hand of God working. You see, in a time of great darkness, back in the old days, they was doing anything that seemed right in their own eyes. You know, by that time, God had already created a flood and wiped all of those people out, and the ones that came up and was established after that wasn't that much better. But God had promised he wouldn't do that again, and that's what probably saved their lives. But you see, it was a time of darkness, and God promised to send light that would shine on everyone living in the shadow of death. You know, we all was born to die, but with Christ in our lives, and if we accept him, we have everlasting life. But without Christ, we would be in the shadows of death, and we would die and not have everlasting life, because our sin would still be with us. You see, the Old Testament is full of prophecies concerning the Savior that would come. And this is a good part that I like. You see, I went in the book of Isaiah 9 chapter, verse 6. And I could read this over and over all day, because it says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Isn't that good? God prophesied that in the book of Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament. You see, this was a message of hope. God told him, this is what it is. You know, you're living in sin, so you're under the shadow of death, but I will have a redeemer that's going to come. You see, that's what the message was saying. And you see, this message of hope that God gave in the Old Testament to Isaiah the prophet, in this Luke, the second chapter, is unfolding. It's being fulfilled in the birth of Christ and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Come on now, y'all. This is good. You see, Isaiah is letting us know why he had to come, and when he get here, who he would be. You see, because he's going to be the Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be a Mighty God. Because, you know, Jesus came as God in the flesh. Jesus, the Mighty God, because Jesus is going to be the incarnated God, and that's why they say the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You see, this message of hope is being fulfilled. Jesus came to deliver all people from the slavery of sin. And, you know, when Jesus was born, it was called the fulfillment of time, the fullness of time. You know, it's the Bible always talks about the fullness of time. So I had to go and get some of that to just be able to bring it, because I know that Jesus' birth was the fulfillment of time that had been prophesied. And really the first prophecy in Genesis 3 and 15 made by God himself, that he would send somebody. Somebody was coming, and we was going to have the victory, was stated in Genesis, the third chapter, the 15th verse. So when I looked up the fulfillment of time, I went to the scripture, to the book of Galatians. Those who have their Bible, go to Galatians 4:4. And we're going to see what the Bible says about it. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son. So I'm not making this up, y'all. That's why we're looking at the scripture. When the fulfillment of time, that means when it got to that time and place of the master plan. You know, we are taught that everything have a season and everything have a time. And God was already setting everything up for Jesus to come, but it had to come in its season. And when it did happen, it's called the fulfillment of time. And I'm going to give you some other examples of fulfillment of time. You see, it would be 25 years before Abraham, once he was told by God, for Abraham to see the manifestation of God's promise, the birth of his son Isaac. God gave it to him, and it took 25 years to get to the fulfillment of time. You see, in the fulfillment of time, the Israelite who cried out to God for 400 years before God would answer them by sending Moses to free his people from slavery in Egypt. Come on now. They were there for 400 years. They cried for 400 years, but God had a master plan, and his plan and his story was going to unfold 400 years later. But when he showed up, he showed off, and he took them out, and he parted the sea, and he separated the Jordan, and he fed them mammoth from the sky. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we got to wait for God. His time is not our time. The children, the Israelites, waited 400 years, and sometimes we can't wait a week. Get your mind right. You see, in the fulfillment of time, it would be 125 years before Noah would see the fulfillment of the flood. You know, it was 100, God came and told him, you know, they're going to have a flood. And he told him to build his ship and keep talking and preaching to the people, and it's going to be a flood. You know, Noah had to just wait because it had never rained. He couldn't understand flood, water from the sky when they only had mist. And then he had to go talk to the people for 125 years before the fulfillment of time of the flood took place. You see, but in that time, he labored building an ark and endured the total daily mocking of men. See, you don't have to worry about what people say about you when you're doing God's will. Because really and truly, when we think about it, only what you do for Christ will last. And then doing the things for Christ and getting tunnel vision and just holding on to the word, we're going to look peculiar. But you're supposed to, the Bible said that when we are in Christ, we're supposed to be peculiar people. We don't supposed to have the same character and the same personality as those who's not following him. That's why God says he's going to come and separate the sheep from the wheat. Going to separate the sheep from the goats and the tares from the snares and the weeds from the wheat. Yeah, we you know, they're going to mock us. So what? They mocked him for 125 years. But you see, when the fulfillment of time came and a rain came down, Noah went in the ark and shut up, and God delivered him. You can't beat God's giving. You see, in the fulfillment of time, Earth's creation would wait 4,000 years in a state of hopelessness and separation from their loving father because of sin that Adam had committed. But you see, they were separated from their loving father, and it was 400 years before the fulfillment of time would come for the Savior of the lost to be born, which is Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus was born in this story we read tonight, understand it as the fulfillment of time. And understand that God made the promise, and now he's doing it. And he's done it, and it's well done. And when Jesus died, it's enough. So please stop having condemnation on yourself. Please stop believing that you do something that's wrong, you are no longer saved. Jesus said that he knew we would not be able to save ourselves in and of ourselves. That's why God sent his son. Do you know if there would have been one person on earth that could have did it all right and could do it enough of works and enough goodness and enough righteousness to save himself, Jesus wouldn't have had to came? For if one man could do it, then it would have been the responsibility of all men to do it. But because no one could have, God sent his son. And tonight, sisters and brothers, the fulfillment of time is written in this story. And God is talking about his history. So let us realize, if we don't realize nothing else, Jesus is truly the reason for this season as we prepare for the holidays. You know, Luke is letting us know, as I close, Luke is letting us know that the promise has been fulfilled. Jesus is born. The scripture describes him as a wonderful child. Jesus, so lonely, lowly, meek and mild. His beginning was so humble. And because of that, we should shout from the mountaintop, glory, 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 hallelujah, to the newborn king. And that's my lesson for tonight. And I pray that you were edified, that Satan was horrified, because he don't want us to have the truth. And I want to tell y'all this before I close. I was supposed to put it in the lesson, but I forgot. But the Holy Ghost just brought it to me. You see, when I said that no one showed up, and then the angel of the Lord went to the shepherds, and they told the shepherd about Jesus, and the shepherds ran to Bethlehem to see Jesus. And they saw him, and after they saw him, they went away praising him. Now, there's no way that told you that the wise men were there. But all of our lives, we see the nativity scene and the wise men standing up at the birth of Jesus. But that is not true. We just read the scripture. Jesus was born. No one showed up. The angel went to the shepherds. The shepherds came over, not the three wise men. You see, if you go to Matthew's, and you just have to read, you know, Matthew's, the second chapter, it's about the 12th verse, on your own time, and you will see that. And let me give you the logic of it. When Jesus was born, the star appeared in the sky. The wise men lived way in the east. So they had to get all the way to where Bethlehem was. And remember, they was on foot or camel or whatever. But it was some traveling time. And it was a lot of traveling time. So they followed the star. And you know the story where the king wanted them to tell him where he was. And the king was scared of being threatened. You see, Jesus scared people. And he was a little bitty baby. And he was petrified. The king wanted to get rid of him. So he killed everybody under the age of two after the, you know, when the shepherds told him when they saw the star and they know it, the wise men didn't come back. But they followed the star. And when the star stopped, it stopped at a house. And at that house, there was where Jesus was. And I'm going to just read this scripture. Let me get it right quick. They say here, this is Matthew, the second chapter and the 10th verse. They say, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And then the 12th verse say, being warned of God in a dream that they should not go and return to the king, they departed unto their own country. That's scripture, y'all. But they show us the wise men all the time. I remember seeing them since I was born. But that's what happened. And it took the wise men 2 years to walk the journey from the east to get to where Jesus was. Remember, the star appeared when he was born. And they had to get there. And when they found him, they were living in a house. And they worshiped him. And they brought gifts. Now, I don't know if it's in the Bible. Well, I ain't going to say I don't know if it's in the Bible. But you see, God is an on-time God. Because after the wise men found Jesus, the king had died. And God told Joseph to take his wife and the child back to Nazareth. But supposing Joseph was out of work. But you see, when them wise men who traveled for them 2 years, right under 2 years, to bring him them gifts and to see him and to praise him and understanding that it was the fulfillment of time and God had fulfilled the prophecies, because you know they say how you can tell that a prophet is a true prophet if what they prophesize come through. If anything, anybody ever prophesies over your life and it didn't come through, well. And then we don't know how long it takes for it to come through. But the point is, when the wise men showed up, they brought gifts. And they was at the right time because Joseph had to pick up his family and he had to go to Egypt. And the scriptures lets us know Joseph wasn't a man of many means. You know, he had no social status or anything like that. But God provided all he needs because the wise men brought gifts. And they say gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, what a wonderful God. Oh, what a wonderful Jesus. And oh, what a wonderful Holy Spirit. And at this time, thank you, Jesus. At this time, I'm going to open anyone who would like to make any comments or anything at this time. You could press the one on your telephone, and I'll let you go right in. If you want to make any comments, say any concerns, give me some. You may want to pray and close us out tonight. Let God lead you, and let God use you. And I have one caller right now, and this caller, some of y'all numbers I know. So if I know your number, I'm going to call your name. But I have this wonderful lady named Joyce Brown. Her button is pressed, and we're going to hear from her at this time. Okay, Ms. Joyce, your mic is open.
Okay, can you hear me?
We could hear you.
All right, Sister Diane, I just want to say I look forward every Wednesday, and I thank you for sharing your God-given gift to us. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you pull out to help encourage us. And I just pray God continue bless your ministry. Thank you for being such an encouragement to us, your listeners. God bless you.
And thank you so much, Sister Brown, because you just encouraged me. You know, everybody need encouragement. So, you know, people may not realize this, but the Holy Ghost, that the administrations of gifts God has given to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost administers gifts. And there's a gift of encouragement that certain people have and certain people don't. But it's our responsibility to encourage one another because we all belong to the household of faith. And Sister Brown, I thank you for that encouragement, and I pray that you continue to be blessed in God's will. Thank you. Anybody else would like to make a comment or concern or anything at this time? The lines is open. And since we have a little time before I pray, I'm going to put another record that's in tune with this. You know, the first one was Oh Holy Night that Yolanda Adams sing. And could you imagine how it was on that night, the power of the Holy Ghost, God himself orchestrating every movement that was taking place when Jesus was born. That was, you know, the star. That star was shining so bright, it was distinguished among all the stars. And the animals was looking, and Mary and Joseph was waiting for the Savior to be born. You know, Mary hadn't heard the scriptures long enough. She was waiting for the Messiah too. And she backed up in her mind what the prophets had said about him coming, and she understood she needed a Savior. You know, Mary was a virgin, but because sin had entered the world, she was not sinless. And Mary was waiting for the Messiah too because she knew she needed a Savior. But God, she just didn't realize that prophecy would come through her. Hallelujah. You see, God used who he want, when he want, how he want, for what he want. You know, some people, want to put so much emphasis you know, on Mary, and I'm not taking none away from her, but God said, you know, she'd be highly favored, and she was highly favored by God by allowing the Savior to come through, and she highly favored by men, because, you see, I have to say Hail Mary, the Mother of God. And look how long it's been. You see, that's her honor. God used her. So I'm going to play His Name is Jesus by Fred Hammond at this time. And I hope you enjoy it. I'll come back and we'll say the prayer. If we have a little more time, we'll get another nice song. Because it's the season. And the songs that we playing, you know, it's presented to Jesus. And this song starts off with a little crying like a baby. And He's really trying to let us know how it may have been that night in Bethlehem, in a stable or whatever it was. And Jesus was laying in a manger, and His mother and His father was amazed at His birth. And here the record goes. His Name is Jesus by Fred Hammond. Enjoy.
To the time of the year when we celebrate. Let our hearts fill with hallelujah. Let's clap and rejoice. For the birth of the Lamb is why we dance. So with gladness we proclaim the victory is won.
wonderful, mighty counselor, Prince of Peace, Jesus, our all in all. And at this time, we have really 9:30. I always try to finish in an hour. So we're just going to end out with a prayer. If anybody would like to pray to close us out tonight, if you press the one on your phone, I'll let you in. If anybody is listening on the internet and you want to be able to talk with the mic, if you dial the number that's on the screen and press the one button, you can come into the studio. So thank you. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the one who allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and incarnated into Jesus Christ, his Son, that came to save the world and a wretch like me. You see, before we met Jesus, we was blind, and then we began to see. You see, you know, we looked at our hands, and sometime when we full of the Holy Ghost, we, you know, our hands looked new, and our feet became new, because some of the places we used to go, we wouldn't want to go anymore. But you see, God is not through with any of us yet. And God has a plan for all of our lives. And a fulfillment of time for each and every one of us is going to come to pass. Just hold on. Remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And God say all he desires is to take care of his children. So as we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, let us hold on and remember that God is in control and that he loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And just for us to submit to the Holy Ghost. You know, it's our job to submit to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is doing his job. He's directing. He's comforting. He's trying to give illumination and revelation. But, Lord, we realize that the Holy Ghost can't take nothing, pull nothing out of us that heaven went in. Let us get the word of God and have precept upon precept. You know, understand why Jesus had to come from the line of David, because that was a promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Let us understand how God is so faithful. You can't understand how faithful God is, Lord, until we know who you really are. And I realize, dear God, that we could never know who we are until we know who you are, who you truly are. How could we know who we are and we don't know who our maker is? Hallelujah. But I just want to say thank you, God. Have your way in our lives. Direct us and strengthen us as we go through this. Lord, I want to thank you for Nelson Mandela and the life that you allowed him to live. Lord, and even though he was in prison for all of that time and he's dead right now, but just like you honored Mary, his life is being honored. They have 10 presidents or kings from 100 countries coming to see him. Hallelujah. He's going to lie in state for many days, and they don't have enough space for the people. That's favor, dear God. But thank you for Nelson Mandela. Bless his family right now, dear God, and thank you for letting him pass here. Because, you see, Nelson Mandela didn't make himself. You did. You see, some people are just born, and some people are born to be. Hallelujah. And, Lord, I just want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll just put another record on there for anybody who won't listen. It is now 9:35. I'm a Perry Flat Fred Hammond. Go tell it on the mountain. You know, that's what the shepherds did when they saw him and they heard and they seen with their eyes. They went around and telling everybody. You see, to get the God exposed, God allowed the shepherds to see Jesus. He allowed the shepherds to see Jesus because he knew that the shepherds would go and tell a story. God want to know, will you be willing to go and tell the story? Can he entrust that to you? You see, they say that our main purpose is to go ye therefore into all nations. spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let God use you. Go tell it on the mountain, Fred Hammond. And that was Go Tell It on the Mountain by Fred Hammond. There's another song by Fred Hammond that's appropriate for the lesson tonight. And it says, it took a child to save the world.
I had never been that excited to go to class before.
And that's just
How
a little commercial. It's going to be over in
that.
3 seconds. And it's now over, and you could hear the song, It Took a Child to Save the World.
The angels held their breath, the heaven put on him in glory, rang the news, God did not forget, the promise that the sands of the rise. Just
And that was it took a child to save the world. God said he could make the simplest, the foolishness of the wisest, the wiseness of the wisest man in the world could seem as foolishness to God. And if God had any foolishness in him, it would be wiser than any man could ever comprehend. And I see that we still have some callers. I see Jeanette Clark is on the line. My sweet, precious niece, Tamika, is still on the line. I have a 225-448. I'm not familiar with that number, and I see you came in a little later. But if you would like to make a comment, either one of you, you still have time. You could press the one button, and I'll open the mic. Well, okay, someone pressed the button. Praise the Lord. Two people. All right. 281, your line is, your mic is open.
Tonight?
Yes, Tamika.
Well, I want to tell everybody good night for the night and to say that I enjoy the teaching and continue to pray for me, and I'll pray for you and everybody that was on the line, and that's about it. And tell T.J. I say hello.
She heard you. She's on the line.
Oh, she heard me. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, she's called in too, and she might say hello to you, but she's on the line. I can see the numbers. See, when I go on air, everybody that call, I can see the number because I'm in the studio. I don't know who's on the internet, but I could tell who dialed in. And the number shows up on the screen. That's how I know it was you.
Oh, okay.
But plenty of the numbers I don't know. They got a 225. But they pressed their button, so we're going to see who they are.
Okay.
225, your mic is open.
This is Janice Hamilton from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I called in tonight to thank everybody for your prayers, thanking you that I need you to continue praying for me. And I really feel blessed that I had so many people that was praying for me until I was like a new creature in Christ, all over again, reborn, rebirth. So I thank you all for your prayers and continue praying. I had a bleeding ulcer that I didn't know I had, and I had to be rushed to the hospital. But God is good. My pastor came to the hospital when I was in ICU and prayed for me there, and it was like new life brought into my life, my body. And I'd like to truly, truly thank you all again for keeping me uplifted in prayer. God bless all of you, and thank you.
And thank you, Sister Janice Hamilton. And God is a healer, and God will see you through.
Oh, yes.
He didn't bring us this far to leave us. And God have a design, purpose, and a will for our lives. And we're not going to leave before it's fulfilled. See, our journey got to come to the fulfillment of this time as well. Like the lesson say it. But you just keep holding on, sister.
My pressure dropped down to 70. I couldn't breathe, and God was in the midst of it all. And he rushed me through there like I was a gunshot victim. And thank God I'm still here.
And we thank God with you, and we're going to continue to pray for you, my sister. And, you know, just remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And I thank each and every one of you who called in. And I thank everyone that's on the internet listening. And I just thank God for each and every opportunity. You know, when I say it in a lesson, you know, some people might say, why the shepherds? And I say, I have to ask the question, why not the shepherds? But sometimes I look at myself and I say, you know, how did God give me this opportunity? I'm not saying that I'm that smart. I'm not saying that I know so much. But you see, God does what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. And God ordained this. I didn't go look for this. This came to me. And I say, thank you, hallelujah, that you could use me, God. And, you know, why me? Then I have to ask the question, why not me? But y'all be blessed, and y'all be encouraged. And I pray that everybody have a wonderful week coming forth. We're going to meet again next Wednesday, and then I guess the next Wednesday we'll skip because that'll be Christmas Day. And on next week I'll take a poll if anybody want to still fellowship on Christmas night. We can do it, but I'll take a poll next week to see if we're going to come back on the air that Wednesday night. But everybody be blessed. God loves you, and so do I. This is now the end of our broadcast for the day. Thank you, God, and I thank each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.